Tiger!
Order, order.
'Twas the week before the week before the week before Christmas, and all through the house not a creature was stirring, apart from the Governor of the Reserve Bank, Graham Wheeler, who crossed Bowen Street on Thursday morning to brief members of the Finance and Expenditure Committee on his final monetary policy statement for 2015. That was in Committee Room 3, the morning after the Speaker, David Carter, had wound up the year in the debating chamber at the end of the adjournment debate.
The House stands adjourned until 2 p.m. Tuesday, 9 February 2016. Merry Christmas.
And it was an early Merry Christmas for the opposition after Mr. Carter played Santa and delivered them a surprise gift from the government when he announced his ruling on a request for an urgent debate from Labour's corrections spokesman, Kelvin Davis, on the government's decision revealed a few hours earlier to inform Serco that its management contract on Mount Eden Prison would not be renewed.
The decision not to renew Serco's contract is a significant development. Given that it has been announced on the final sitting day of the year, there will be no reasonably foreseeable opportunity to debate the issue.
Explaining his ruling to members, Mr. Carter anticipated argument from the government that the decision had not been made by one of its ministers, but by the Corrections Department's chief executive.
However, he is not answerable to this House. The Minister of Corrections is.
Nevertheless, the government's leader of the House, Gerry Brownlee, asked Mr. Carter to convey his ruling to the Commissioner of State Services.
In order that he might make some representations about the limitations of the State Service Act when it comes to ministers being able to direct the chief executives of departments who make decisions that ministers cannot affect, but then, of course, now, by your decision, held accountable in this House.
I am sure that there's no doubt this Minister, Ian Rennie, will be aware of my decision already.
But Mr. Carter's decision had been taken in a wider context.
It is absolutely critical that the public has confidence in our correction system. I accept that the matter requires the urgent attention of the House. I therefore call on Kelvin Davis to move that the House take note of an urgent matter of public importance.
And more of that snap debate now from Rhys Lyon.
Leading off the debate, Labour's corrections spokesman Kelvin Davis described the decision not to renew the Mount Eden prison contract to Serco as a failure for the government's privatisation of prisons agenda.
Any private company that gets hold of a prison contract is going to cut corners because the purpose of a private operator running a prison is to make money. They're going to be staff cuts because that's the first way that a private company makes any money is by cutting the numbers of staff. And when they cut the numbers of staff in a prison, that means there are fewer staff to look over the prisoners, and that is exactly what happened in Mount Eden. That is the very reason we've seen all the problems in Mount Eden from the very outset.
But Corrections Minister Sam Lotoanga said the prison's problems were not due to it being privately run.
That's absolutely untrue, and this has always been about safety and security and not about ideological viewpoints. It's just that their hatred of members opposite of these types of private provision of services, actually it disguises their huge contribution that they have provided to social services in this country. For example, early childhood education. Who provides some of the top quality early childhood education in this country? What sort of providers? Well, often they're private providers.
However, Green MP David Clendon wasn't convinced and questioned the timing of the announcement.
If ever a government has sat in this House on the last sitting day of a year with egg liberally smeared on its face, this is the day and this is that government. And the fact that we have delayed effectively 6 months to make this announcement, to begin to terminate this contract, has exacerbated that problem, made it worse. And we should learn from that and acknowledge it.
And back to Sam Lotoanga, who's due to be replaced as Corrections Minister next year following a cabinet reshuffle announced earlier this week. He said he stood by the Corrections Chief Executive's decision on Mount Eden.
And I fully support this department. Sir, it's been an honour being the Minister of Corrections. Merry Christmas.
Corrections Minister Sam Lotoanga speaking in the urgent debate on the non-renewal of Serco's Mount Eden prison management contract.
Rhys Lyon will be back with the Reserve Bank Governor and the Chief Spy in the committee rooms, while back in the chamber, the Prime Minister's decision to replace Pizzetta Sam Lotoanga with his predecessor in the corrections portfolio, Judith Collins, was the subject of this question on Tuesday from Opposition Leader Andrew Little.
Is the reason he's reinstated Judith Collins as Minister of Corrections
that he now recognises she was the one who negotiated the disastrous Serco contract, and it's time for her to clean up her own mess.
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Many reasons why I've reinstated Judith Collins, but one of them is because she was an excellent Minister in Corrections and Police.
The hollow laughter on the opposition benches was even louder at Mr Key's answer to their leader's next question.
What assurances has he sought from Judith Collins that she'll stop misusing her position to malign public servants and line her husband's pockets?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Well, Mr Speaker, I take offence from that question.
Labor then reminded the Prime Minister of the offence caused by one of his comments, with this question for him from their Christchurch East MP, Porto Williams.
Does he stand by his statement, quote, "you back the rapist," end quote, made during question time on the 10th of November 2015?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Yes, in the context of a robust debate.
Supplementary.
Order.
Supplementary.
Supplementary question, Porto Williams.
Does the Prime Minister understand his statement, quote, "you back the rapists," end quote, has caused offence to members of the opposition, victims of sexual and domestic violence, and more than 13,000 people who signed a petition asking for him to apologise?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Well, Mr Speaker, I stand up very strongly for the victims of sexual offences. This government also supports that. Mr Speaker, the comment was in relation to what I believe was advocacy only for the criminals from the opposition.
Next day, though, a month and a day after making the comment, the Prime Minister, John Key, rose before question time to make this personal explanation.
Mr Speaker, during question time on the 10th of November, in response to a supplementary on question number one, I made a comment about the opposition which caused offence. Subsequently, the matter has been raised several other times in the House. I've reflected on my comments, and on this last sitting day of the year, so close to Christmas, I'd like to withdraw and apologise for that response.
The spirit of goodwill then moved across the chamber.
Point of order, Andrew Little.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. In recent weeks, statements have been made by members on this side of the House about you, which reflect upon you. And I wish to draw to the attention of this House that correspondence has gone to the Chair of the Privileges Committee today, accepting that those comments were unparliamentary and expressing regret for them. All of which demonstrates that this House is capable of acting, if not in the spirit of Christmas, in the spirit of the Bloody Red Baron.
I thank the member sincerely.
The spirit of goodwill then retired from the chamber, leaving the opposition leader and the Prime Minister to resume normal relations.
Now that the Serco turkeys are cooked, is he worried that Judith Collins is eyeing up his back with a carving knife?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr Speaker, there's only one turkey in this house and I'm looking at him.
Leaving behind the cut and thrust of the debating chamber, here's Rhys Lyon with news from the committee rooms.
Appearing before the Finance and Expenditure Committee on Thursday to give an update on the Reserve Bank's December monetary policy statement was its Governor, Graham Wheeler, who delivered the news he had already announced earlier in the day.
Look, I'll be brief. As you know, we reduced the official cash rate by 25 basis points to 2.5%.
The cutting of the official cash rate would have an impact on mortgage interest rates, and the Reserve Bank Governor explained factors leading to the decision.
Globally, economic growth is below average and inflation is low. Growth in our own economy softened over 2015. The exchange rate since August has risen, and that's been unhelpful. House price inflation in Auckland remains high, posing a financial stability risk, but there are some early signs that it may be moderating.
Graham Wheeler also gave an update on the outlook for the country's economy.
There are many uncertainties and risks to the outlook. Dairy prices could remain weak for longer. The current El Nino could deteriorate, and net migration could stay high for longer. So we concluded that monetary policy needs to be accommodative to help ensure that inflation settles, and we'll continue to watch the emerging flow of data closely.
Reserve Bank Governor Graham Wheeler speaking to the Finance and Expenditure Committee on Thursday. A day earlier, the Government Administration Committee heard submissions on Sue Moroney's members' bill seeking an extension of paid parental leave from 18 weeks to 26. One of those submissions came from lawyer and mother, Eliza Prestige Oldfield.
I want to address this issue of children as a choice, which is often presented again as an argument against the bill. The idea is, well, you should wait until you're financially set up, be responsible, then have children. Children may be a choice for an individual couple, but society as a whole needs somebody to have children and look after children. And the work done looking after children is really, it really is work.
Eliza Prestige Oldfield said she spoke from experience.
I was very surprised, actually, by how difficult it was. And at the moment, it falls primarily to mothers who do it on an unpaid basis. And that's inequitable, and it's really not good enough in 2015.
Lawyer and mother Eliza Prestige Oldfield with that submission on the Parental Leave and Employment Protection, 6 months paid leave and work contact hours amendment bill, which is due to be reported back to the Chamber by March the 16th. Also during the week, on Tuesday afternoon, the Intelligence and Security Committee, chaired by the Prime Minister, John Key, held the annual review of the Government Communications and Security Bureau and Security Intelligence Service and heard from SIS Security Director Rebecca Kitteridge, who outlined the growing global concerns about Islamic State.
When I started as Director of Security in May 2014, the so-called Islamic State was barely talked about in New Zealand. And now, a day rarely goes by without news of some act of violent extremism associated with IS. The number of New Zealanders fighting alongside or supporting IS remains small, but has increased. And in particular, we've seen an increase in the number of New Zealand women travelling to Syria and Iraq.
The SIS director didn't give specific numbers involved in the increase in women going to Syria and Iraq, and wasn't sure what they did when they got there.
It's difficult to see what they do when they go. We definitely have intelligence that they went. Whether they are going to fight or whether they're going to support other fighters is not clear, but it's a real concern that they would go at all.
SIS Security Director Rebecca Kitteridge, who also got a mention in the Chamber later in the week with this anecdote from Labour leader Andrew Little during the adjournment debate.
I was at a meeting a couple of months ago getting one of the briefings from the head of one of our security agencies, and there we were looking at matters of great national sensitivity and security, and all of a sudden the head of the SIS who was briefing me threw her hands over the papers on the table and said, "Wait, is this place secure?" And we looked out on the balcony and there was one of the LT McGuinness men with his high-vis jacket on. As you all know, they've all got numbers on them. And there was the number, 007. Now,
opposition leader Andrew Little speaking in this year's adjournment debate. Also during the week, on Wednesday, the Finance and Expenditure Committee heard submissions on the Keep Kiwi Bank bill in the name of Labour's David Parker, which would legislatively entrench New Zealand Post's ownership of Kiwi Bank. In a written submission on the bill, the Clerk of the House, David Wilson, notes that entrenchment would restrict the future ability of the legislature to decide matters by simple majority and should be utilised only for important provisions of a constitutional nature. The clerk said the aim of the bill to restrict the full or partial sale of Kiwi Bank could be achieved by other means. The Keep Kiwi Bank bill is due to be reported back to the House by April the 14th. And the week in the committee rooms was rounded off with the Local Government and Environment Committee meeting in Christchurch on Friday and Saturday for submissions on the Greater Christchurch Regeneration Bill, which is due to be reported back to the House by February the 25th.
That report from Rhys Lyon, with the clock nudging 6 p.m. and the screw caps already coming off the Save Blanc for the annual Parliamentary Press Gallery Christmas do, the Speaker summed up the year in the House.
But can I just note, as some of you have noted, that it has been a robust House this year. It is a political debating chamber. I expect nothing less. There have been political tensions through the year.
With the Speaker inevitably in the eye of the storm, which he'd weathered along with his deputy, Chester Burrows, and the two assistant speakers, Lindsay Tish and Trevor Mallard.
I think we are a credible team. We work hard in this place to preside over some fairly difficult debates in a way that is truly unbiased. Thank you to that team for your help.
The Speaker also thanked the new Clerk of the House, David Wilson.
I also want to acknowledge the seamless change of guard with the Clerk of the House. David Wilson, you have been a pleasure to work with over the last 6 months. I congratulate you. Finally, to honourable members, can I take this opportunity of wishing you all a very merry and safe Christmas. I'm looking forward to seeing you back early in the new year for the Battle of 2016, but now it is whānau time let's go and enjoy it.
And with that, the House adjourns, set to resume on Tuesday, February the 9th, at the start of another 30 weeks of hopefully robust debate. I'm Tom Frewen.
And I'm Rhys Lyon.
And this program was brought to you with funding from Parliament.